Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. Nice to be back in Fenland. Just as we start, are you okay if, can you do me a favor? Can you help me with something? I just realized this morning at about 6:30, my wife said, don't forget to wish your mom a happy Mother's Day and send her a text. And I said, well, I can't send her one at like 6:30, so I'll do it. So just as I was leaving here about 8 o'clock, she says, have you text your mom yet? Happy Mother's Day. I said, no, but I will do it as soon as I get to the church. And then when Phil was doing his announcement and he pulled out his phone, I'm like, I still haven't done it. So what I'm going to do is I pulled it out, and will you help me wish my mom a happy Mother's Day? So I'm going to try to get this thing set up, and I'm probably not very good about this, but then when I say 1, 2, 3, we'll just all wave and say happy Mother's Day. Oh, is that good? And then we kind of do this together. Let me see. I think that's it. Okay, so let's try. I'm terrible at this. 1, 2. Okay, actually, let me hit record. 1, and then I'll go 1, 2, 3, and then we'll all wish my mom happy Mother's Day. 1, 2, 3.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. Thanks, everyone. There you go. Perfect. That's good. Now I just got to remember to send that after the service to my mom. What's that? Oh, FaceTime. Yeah, especially if she's in church there and we can see. And normally we always have my mom over for Mother's Day, but she's in the city with my siblings, so hopefully she has a great day. Well, again, just want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day, and I'm going to just start off with a little bit of a confession. So oftentimes, I'm one of those pastors, I do not like to recycle old messages. And even when I think I am going to use a message, I usually just kind of completely revamp them. But when we learned that Pastor Matt and I were going to switch for Mother's Day, I was actually, this is probably about the first time ever I was excited to revisit an old message. I knew exactly what message I wanted to share on this day. It's actually a message that I did 2 years ago. And one of the reasons why I was excited to kind of revisit this particular message is because I'm just going to, again, this is confession time. This is pastoral confession time. When you're preparing a message for Mother's Day, it's kind of a tough message to prepare because everybody knows you're going to speak on moms, right? And you're going to say moms are nice and moms, you love your moms, and you're going to use an example of a good mom in the Bible. So I'm thinking about it. I'm like, how do I make it new and how do I make it fresh and what mom do I focus on in the Bible? And I had a couple different ideas. And then I just, again, pastoral confession time, I cheated. I just got into my Bible software and I wrote the name mother and I was just looking for inspiration. And I just looked and started going through every reference that had the word mother in it in the Bible. And then all of a sudden I got down, you know, quite a number of verses. I got all the way into the Psalms and there was one particular verse that kind of knocked me like a 2x4 before, right between the eyes. And again, I got actually just reading it and then doing a little study on it, got pretty emotional. And I'm going to share that in just a minute. But then I just kept going, and I just started making a note. When I saw the name Mother as it came up in the Bible, and it strikes me in kind of a unique and powerful way, just write it down. And when I finished writing down, I had 17 references. Again, more than I knew what to do. But then I whittled it down to 5. And what I want to do is just look at these 5 unique snapshots of motherhood that come from Scripture. And it's often used some ways in ways that are traditional, stereotypical that we could use, that we might be familiar with, and others that might hopefully be a little bit surprising. And if I get one thing out this morning, is just how important and invaluable mums are to God. And hopefully that will come across. Again, I've used a little poetic license with the title for today's sermon, 5 Unexpectedly Profound Snapshots. Not snot shots, that's kind of gross, of the invaluable importance of mothers. And the first one kind of goes similar with the song we last sung. It was kind of a sorrowful song, but this is the one that really caught me, and it got me pretty emotional, and hopefully I won't get emotional as I think about it this morning, but this is mothers as a symbol of anguish. Now, probably teen girls are saying, yeah, that fits. Nobody causes me more anguish than my mom. But that's not how I'm meaning. And it's this psalm. It's in Psalm 35:14. David writes this psalm, and he says these words, I went about As though it were my friend or brother, I bow down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a context. I quickly went back, read the chapter. And in this particular psalm, probably written near the end of David's life, it's a psalm, it's a lament psalm, it's a psalm of deliverance, and it's specifically a deliverance from his enemies. But the enemies that David wants God to deliver him from is not like the ones that you would think, like the Philistines or some of these other Canaanite nations that he's always warring and fighting against. In fact, it's his own brothers, fellow Israelites, right? Many of them who have his own friends who've actually turned against him, and now he's warring against his own countrymen and against some of those who had served and went to war with. And it's like they've betrayed him, they've turned their back on him. And as he's going through, he's like, you don't understand the grief. This is not just fighting against enemy, these are fighting against friends, brothers. And they betrayed me. And he's trying to describe the anguish that he's going through in realizing of these brothers and sisters. And it's like he's, you know, left breathless. And then he says, I bow down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. What it reminded me of, the anguish, if I was to describe it, is like when I lost my mom. And again, you just, this thing that was so powerful is, here's David, right? David is this great king, but the one thing he's also known for is a warrior. And, you know, if the legends are true, it's like David is, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. If not, he's been responsible for tens of thousands of deaths. Nobody has seen more bloodshed and hand-to-hand combat than this great warrior David, right? Cut off the head of Goliath himself. But now you see this broken heart, strong man. And he says, when I think of anguish, the thing that breeds me is like losing a mom. And he can just picture the strong man just bowing down and sobbing when he thinks of that. And I remember when I first read that, like, you can't help. I got my mom's 82. I just lost my father, you know, a couple months ago. But I remember in that moment, I just couldn't help but that. You know, fortunately, my mom's still with her. She's still healthy. But you're immediately taken to that day when you have to say goodbye. Right? It gets pretty emotional. There's something special about mom, and I love this. Here's this strong man when he tries to describe his strongest amount of anguish. The only thing he can describe it with is losing his mom. That's pretty powerful, right? One thing that I think is pretty amazing is oftentimes the wives, the moms, they don't get their name. We all know who David's dad is. It's Jesse. We have no mention of who his mom is. But if you want to know what David thought of his mom, just look at this verse. The next one, and again, this one is kind of follows up, and this is stereotypical in one sense, but another way, completely different twist. And this is called Mothers as a Comforter, right? And again, there's some obvious places we could go to consider mom as a comforter. Well, often when we think of moms, again, that's one of the first things that we think of them as comforters, as nurturers. Again, in Psalm 131, there's this great picture of just, you know, putting our trust in the Lord. And when it's like that, it's like being like a young, like a infant who's just been weaned, just received its mother's milk, and then just falls asleep, right? Just that beautiful picture. Again, there's that passage, well-known passage from Psalm 91, where God is referred to a mother hen who's one who gathers his chicks under the shelter of his wings. Even Paul, when he's speaking to the Thessalonians, he used the mother imagery to describe himself as a nurturing mother who tenderly cares for her own children. But in Lamentation, the idea of a comforting mother, and I think this is one of the most heart-wrenching passages in all the Bible, and it's this. They say to their mothers, where is grain and wine as they faint like a wounded man in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom? Now, just again, give you a little bit of a context on this, and this is what makes this really powerful. Lamentations, traditionally, it suggested that it was written by Jeremiah the prophet. But regardless of who wrote it, what it was done was it was a poem of lament, a long poem, 5 chapters, and it details the destruction and the desolation of Israel's holy city, Jerusalem. right? The Babylonians have come in and they have taken over Judah. They have destroyed the temple. They have destroyed the city. They have left thousands dead. They've taken thousands else out into exile back to Babylon. But the vast majority of the people die of starvation. There's nothing for them. They're desperate. It's one of the most tragic things. In fact, the Bible describes that there was actual cannibalism going on at this time. Things were that desperate. We can't even imagine. And as the writer of this poem is trying to explain and give the idea of the picture of it, he looks to these grown men in the city who've lost everything, and it's like they've reverted back to childhood. Right, just think about how a young child, a young boy, again, depends on his mom for just those basic necessities of life, assuming that the mom is going to provide. But now what's happened is these men have gone. They're grown men, but things are so desperate. Where do they go back to? Who do they hope that can still provide their needs? Mom, right? Mom, where's the food? Where's the nourishment that we need? And then they die in the arms of their mom, right? It's powerful, right? It's comforting right at the end of the day, right? Again, turning these strong, grown men into babies. And where do they go back to? Their moms. So those two are kind of more serious, a bit more stronger. The next couple are a little bit more brighter, a little bit more light. And that one is stereotypical mothers as comforter, but maybe with a twist in it. This is as stereotypical as they come. And this is, I'm going to call it mother as provider. And this one gave me a chuckle when I wrote this. Most of the, three out of these are more moms as, more as an analogy, maybe even verge on metaphor. These next two actually come from real live moms. But oftentimes we think of moms as the real true providers, the one who look after the details in the family. Kids might refer to moms as the worriers. Husbands will call them as the responsible ones. But I love this little detail. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband so to offer the yearly sacrifice. This is like so perfect, mom, like in a caption. And it's kind of one of those details you can just kind of brush over. But here's a story. Again, this is beginning of 1 Samuel. And this is the mom, Hannah. Now, if you remember the story of Hannah, again, she's married to this gentleman. His name is Elkanah. And he's got two wives, Peninnah and this lady, Hannah. Peninnah has multiple kids and is teasing Hannah because she's barren. She has no kids. And she cries out to God, please just give me a child. Give me a son. And if you give me the son, I will dedicate him to the Lord's work. So the Lord hears her prayer. She has a son. This would be later become Samuel. And when he becomes of age, she takes him to the tabernacle again, where he learns and trains and is brought up. But then each year she has to go and she visits her son. And just like every mom visiting their kid off in college, what are they going to bring? A little care package, right? They're going to make it through the details. And I love this picture. You know, I still remember being a kid when my grandparents would vote. My grandpa would come empty-handed. My grandma would have like knitted mitts and a knitted like cardigan and knitted socks that always fell off your feet. All those kind of things. And it's kind of like, aw, look at this. His mom, what does he do? Like knits him a little sweater. Actually, it says it's a robe. And again, if you know this, is probably when you think of this, think of Joseph and the robe that he got from Jacob. This is actually a very, very fine piece of clothing in a time. But again, it's just this mother, I'm going to go and visit my son, and I'm going to make sure every time I come, I've got something special for him to make him feel special. I'm going to make sure he's looked after. I also kind of laughed at this because I remember originally when I wrote in my notes when I was looking back at this, is often when it comes to work, Sarah goes into work a little bit earlier than I do. And so I'm usually stay home just to get Jenna on the bus, or I drive Jenna in, and usually about 10 minutes after I leave, especially in wintertime when it's cold, I get a text from Sarah reminding me, it's like, it's cold outside, make sure she's got her jacket, make sure she's got proper shoes, make sure she, and I'm looking at her as we're out at the dorm like, yeah, I totally didn't think that. Let's go back and get that, right? Moms are the ones who are going to provide. Moms are the ones who are going to take care of the details. The next one is this, and again, we kind of think of this next one as like an obvious one, especially living in the 21st century. We're used to, especially growing up through school, through Sunday school. Generally speaking, most of our teachers, most of our Sunday school teachers are women. In the public school system, in the church school system, but it's this idea of a mother's teacher, right? This is kind of a unique thing in time of history. Generally speaking, from a religious standpoint, from even an academic standpoint, through most of history, it's always been the men who were primary teachers. But the Bible reminds us repeatedly to pay attention to the teachings of our moms. It's not odd to be reminded to pay attention to the teachings of the dad, but we're also reminded to pay attention to the teachings of the moms. And I love this. This is from Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So again, just let me give you a little bit of context here. So this is, again, when it comes to Proverbs. Proverbs is, again, traditionally suggested that Solomon the king put this book together for us, and it's a collection of wisdom. But the whole idea of the book of Proverbs, it is a gift from a father to his son, specifically. And what it's this idea is, he's, some of it's his own wisdom, some of it's wisdom that he's gathered from far and wide. It's been curated into a book form, or probably scroll form, or whatever form they used at that time, to give along to his son, and saying, here's the wisdom, here are the things that you know to live a good life, a responsible life. And one of the things, again, that Solomon, whoever was it who curated it, again, took it from far and wide, and we've got it from different wise people, probably from around the kingdom and from different kingdoms. And this, one of the very final things he puts down is some wisdom from this King Lemuel. Now, we have no idea where this Lemuel was, whether he was a contemporary of Solomon, whether he was somebody who came before. We have no idea what nation he was king of, but this is the way how I think about it. Maybe Solomon is meeting with this king, they're having some diplomatic discussions, and just before he leaves, he says, hey, I'm working on this project for my son. I'm always trying to gather wisdom. Do you got anything to say? Kind of like the video we just watched, right? What kind of wisdom can we pass on? And he could just picture King Lemuel saying, like, I ain't got, what can I... Well, you know what? Here's what I'm going to pass, but it's actually from my mom. It's all right, give it to me. And then basically, I won't go through it. It's pretty good sound advice. King Lemuel's mom says, well, don't mess around with women. They'll kind of bring a downfall to your kingdom if you're not careful. The next thing he says, also be careful about alcohol, right? That's not going to be good for you. And the third thing she said, I said, make sure you speak up and stand up for those who don't have the power to speak up and stand for themselves. Make sure you're always looking out for the marginalized. Some pretty good advice. And in fact, this is really one of those last pieces of formal advice that Solomon gives us in his book of Proverbs. And then he talks about finding the wife of noble character, right? But I love this picture. Right, even Proverbs 1:8 begins this way, hear my son, your father's instruction to do not forsake what? Your mother's teaching. I love how Paul, again, in just when he's writing Timothy, he commends him. Remember where you received your faith, from your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And again, in a patriarchal world, it was nothing odd to get advice and think of a father and thinking of a man as a teacher. But it was a big deal when he said, make sure you also pay attention to your mom. one of the things that's even in Jewish tradition is when they suggest about the wisdom, they said you need the two-part wisdom. You need wisdom of dad and you need wisdom of mom. The dad is supposed to provide wisdom and truth and teaching along the lines of justice, the mother along the lines of mercy, right? You need both of them. They're both central. And then here's the last one, and I love this one. You notice I've been kind of counting down. I haven't gone one to five. I kind of been kind of giving a little David Letterman kind of feel, right? Kind of working our way down, making it a little bit more interesting. And I love this one. This is mother as our heavenly hope. And this is from Galatians 4. It's probably in one of the most complicated, hard to get your head around portions that Paul writes in all of the New Testament. But in Galatians 4:26, he writes this, "But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother." Now, I won't go into details because in much details here, I'll just kind of quickly summarize what Paul's trying to get at, and it's kind of hard to get right. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he's struggling. He's saying they've lost the hope and the central point of the gospel, right? For Paul, he's saying this is the way you're understanding. You guys are basically a law-based church, right? Where your relationship to God is how well you follow all the rules, follow all the laws, follow all the commandments. And he's saying that is actually a heresy to be damned. He said, it's not what we do for God, it's what Christ has already done for us, right? It's the work that he's done, not the work that we've done, and we just live out of because of that. And then as he's trying to make this point, he kind of goes into this weird analogy, and he goes back to these two ladies from Israel's history, and he says, this is what represents what you have, what you've changed the gospel into, and what it should be, right? One is Hagar, right? The slave wife or woman of Abraham, right? She is a slave. She has no freedom. And he says, this is what represents Mount Sinai, where you're just kind of living by the law and just making sure you get all your eyes crossed and your eyes dotted and your T's crossed. That's the right one, okay? I need to go back to public school. Mom, my mom was the one who always helped me with that kind of stuff, right? But the other one, what we have in Christ, it is freedom. Right? It's what he's done. And he said, not only do we have this freedom in Christ, it actually ends with this greatest picture, right? The gift of eternity of heaven, the new Jerusalem, the idealist picture. And he said, let that idea, this freedom that we have in Christ that leads to eternity with God, be your mother, right? Your source of comfort, your source of strength, your source of direction, right? It's a pretty powerful picture. When Paul says, the best way I can explain the gospel and the hope it leads to is like a mom. Wow. Again, I don't have anything overly profound to say today, but I just want to wrap up with saying this. Oftentimes when we think of Scripture, it was written a long time ago. Right? In a very different world, very, very different culture. And often one of the things that we struggle with when we look at it, especially from a 21st century, we look at, especially sometimes the way it treats women and wives and mothers, and go, oh man, they hold them in low regard, right? It was a very patriarchal, it was very misogynistic, and we kind of jump to those conclusions when we sometimes read it on a surface level from the 21st century. But one of the things that I hope I did today is just kind of when you peel it back, not just in the stories, but understand the way that mothers are valued in kind of unique ways, you realize that, man, God puts a lot at stake. He recognized the importance and just the invaluable role that mothers play. Right? So much so when you got someone like David and he's trying to explain how and get across the anguish he's in, the only thing he can relate it to is losing his own mom. It's powerful, right? When you think of the ultimate picture of comfort, you think of grown men and who do they desire in their final days just to be back in the arms, in the lap of their own moms, right? Again, those pictures of mom is just that provider, the one who takes responsibility. the mom who just has her own unique wisdom to give. But when it talks about the gospel itself, he says, don't let it be a father to you. Let it be your mother. She is your mother. She is your guiding influence. The Bible and God put tremendous dignity in women and in the role of motherhood. God bless. Happy Mother's Day.